The question was asked, being that what it's recommended that one use a third party to set people up, what's a good way to choose who that third party should be? And this question really overlaps with another question, which is how do you choose a good shadchan? Now, a good shadchan is very hard to find because most of them are liars. I'm a shadchan, and I tell you don't trust any shadchanim except for me, and you can't know that I'm telling you the truth, so don't trust me either. There are so many horror stories. A girl gets set up with a guy, and the shadchan forgot to mention he was married 3 times and has 5 kids. All kinds of horror stories. I don't have the time to go through them, but I can just tell you, do your own research and don't trust the shadchan. I always like telling the story about the shadchan who comes up to the guy, and the guy tells him, you know, I need a little bit more information about the girl. So shadchan says, oh, she's amazing. She was the top of her class. And she's a fine girl. You know, she speaks to her parents always with respect, and she has an excellent relationship with her siblings. And she's very well liked in her class. And she's very studious, and she got straight A's. And she's a girl that's top of the line. Now, give me just a second. Which girl are we talking about? Understand, he has all those lines. He doesn't even know what girl he's talking about. Doesn't matter, because he's going to tell you those lines anyways. Now tell me which girl we're talking about after he's told you all those lines. Yeah, doesn't matter. That's the way it works with shadchanim. Most shadchanim, you can't trust for beings. So, that being said, so you're going to choose who's going to set you up with a girl. So, how do you choose?
Well, no, but even if you have...
If you have a specific girl you want to be set up with. Right. So I'm saying this is a scenario where you want to be set up with a specific girl and you can choose who's going to do the setting up. Now that person is invariably going to become the shadchan.
Right.
That's what shadchan is. So they're going to be setting you up. So my recommendation is a few things. Sometimes you have to be practical. You need someone who knows her, who can convince her to go out with you. So then that's sometimes there are overriding factors. This girl only hears shidduchim from someone who doesn't know her parents. There are many girls like that. If they get wind that this shidduch might be coming from their parents, then they don't want to hear it. So then, if there are overriding factors, fine. And then there are overriding factors. But if there are not overriding factors, if you don't have a situation where the girl will only accept the shidduch from someone who knows you for 15 years and knows her for 15 years, which is sometimes girls' criterion, and the girl does not have any kind of specific criterion, and you get to choose, so then I think the criterion should be along these lines. Number one, it should be someone that can talk nicely about you, someone who can represent you. Number two, it should be someone who likes talking nicely about people, meaning there are many people who can say nice things but won't. Number three, it should preferably be someone who can get enthused. Meaning it's not enough when you talk about a person, it's not enough to just say nice things. There's a way of getting excited about a guy. And that makes all the difference. Chazal tell us that even when it comes to the greatest land in the world, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, if you, the Jewish people, want to send spies, so this is the course I want them to take. And Chazal say, why did Hashem map out that course? Because it's like a salesman. Hashem said, let me begin with the smaller stuff and then the bigger stuff and then the more fantastic things until finally they'll be overwhelmed with the greatness of the land. So even when you're selling something good, Hashem taught us that you have to know how to sell it. So even Eretz Yisrael, the greatest land on the planet, Hashem maps out a plan for the spies so that Hashem sells it to them, so to speak. You see, it didn't work, but that's because they weren't ready to be sold. But Hashem did the best, so to speak, in selling it. Well, the same thing is true in a shidduch. It's very, very important that whoever it is not only knows how to say good things and is the type of person who wants to say good things, but thirdly, is a person that can get enthusiastic. And I can't stress this point enough. There was a girl who kept getting rejected in shidduchim. And I suggested to her to have one of her friends call up her references and see what they say about her. I said, you never know. And it turns out that one of her references didn't know how to present her nicely. Meaning it was a friend, she said everything positive, but she always said it in a way that sounded negative. Sometimes you can say a lot of positive things and still sound negative. So that's why I'm saying it's very, very important that the person also have the capacity to get enthused about you and know how to sell it and know how to be excited and get her to feel like she's getting the greatest guy in the world. And then point number four, which maybe should have been point number one, I'm not sure if this is the most important point or not, but I think it's a very important point. I think it's important to have someone with the type of wisdom that's referred to in Hebrew as Chochmat Chaim, the wisdom of life. When it comes to a shidduch, so even the best of shidduchim can sometimes need a jump start, can sometimes need someone to say a few words here and say a few words there and keep things moving. I just had a phone call a few days ago from Akala, and she said to me, "Thank you for setting me up with my husband." So I said, "You got the wrong number. I didn't set you up with your husband." So she said, "Yes, you did." I said, "Look, I know who you are, I know who he is, and I didn't set you two up." She says, "No, but we were at a point in our shidduch where my husband called you up, and he was contemplating A, B, and C, and I know that if you wouldn't tell him what you told him, we wouldn't be engaged today." So I was very embarrassed, because I didn't want the husband to tell her, I don't understand him. What'd you tell her that for? You know, what'd you tell her you were contemplating A, B, and C, and why'd you tell her I spoke to you for? But okay, call kavod to the kala. You know, it's very nice of her that she calls and says thank you. Okay, good for them. I'm saying, but that's a very pivotal role that can sometimes make the difference between a shidduch working and not. And that's why I don't know if to put that as number one, because sometimes it's not relevant. Sometimes the shidduch works out without the assistance of the shadchan. But very often, that can make the world of a difference. I can tell you that when I was dating a certain girl, I hit date number 12, and I was ready to end because I said, I don't know where things are holding yet. And I met Rav Avi Gauftman, the Dayan from Har Choma, and we were good friends, we learned in yeshiva together, and he told me, "No, you keep going. If you don't know, that's not a reason to stop." And thanks to his advice, I'm married to that girl today. You know, I always say thanks to him, because I was headed out to the date. Literally, he met me at the door of the Beis Medrash. I was walking out to the date. He was walking in. It was Bein Hazmanim. He asked me, "What's doing? I see you're perturbed." And I told him, I said, "I'm about to go and dump a girl after 12 dates, and I'm not sure." So he said to me, "What's 12 dates? You know, one good piece of advice." And I always say thanks to him. So a good shadchan has to have the wisdom to know when to intervene and when not to intervene. It's not only about giving good advice, it's also about knowing what not to say. Because a shidduch is a very delicate thing. There was a couple that Baruch Hashem also got engaged that he said he'd like to make aliyah and he's not yet confident it's going to work out. She called me up and said, "He's making aliyah, and now I'm stuck. There's a shidduch that's moving forward, and I'm hearing two different things from both sides. What do you say? Are you supposed to say something?" Okay, right. So, yeah. You know, I'm going to get in between their communication. On the other hand, I don't want to miss communication. So what I stressed to both of them was, I can't discuss what he said to me or what you say to me with either one of you, because you guys are at a point in your relationship that you have to talk straight, but make sure you're on the same page. Now that's what I'm saying. A shadchan has to know when it's his job to say something and when it's his job to tell the couple, "You guys talk about it." And that's a complicated, it's a difficult decision, but that's why I put this as number four, because sometimes it's not relevant, but sometimes it's very relevant. It's very, very relevant sometimes to be able to know what to say, how much to say, when to say. And those, I think, would be the prime criterion I would have in choosing someone to set two people up.
So it's actually a very serious job versus like just a formality.
Well, it can be just a formality, and then you're on your own. But very often, the person who sets you up ends up tagging along for better, hopefully for better, and not for worse. But very often, it's very useful to have a third party. Very often, that can make the difference. You know the story about the guy who kept buying gifts for the girl? Okay, so there was a couple that we set up, and on the first date he shows up with flowers, on the second date he shows up with a box of chocolates, on the third day he shows up with a safer for her. So she calls me up after the third date and says, we have to end this. So I say, why? She says, on the first date he shows up with flowers. I told him, I'm not comfortable with bringing me gifts, please stop. The second day he shows up with a box of chocolates. I told him, you know, please stop. The third date he ignored me and brought me a safer. I'm not continuing with him. So I said to her, look, if your issue is the gifts, that he's doing something that's abnormal, so I have no answer for that. Fine. You want to dump and dump him. If your issue is that he didn't listen to you when you asked him to stop, so then I just have to ask a question. So she said, no, my issue is not that he brought the gifts. My issue is that in spite of the fact that I asked, he didn't stop. So I said, how did you ask him to stop? Did you say, I don't even remember his name anymore. Did you say, Chaim, I'm uncomfortable with this, please stop? Or did you say something along the lines of, you giggled, you laughed, and you put your head down and you said, you know, you really shouldn't, you really don't have to, it's really not right. Because if you did that to the guy, you were just being polite. He didn't understand you said stop. And I would say, before you dump him, give him one chance. I won't tell him a word about this conversation. Just try telling him once, straight and guy language, tell him, Chaim, do me a favor. I'm not comfortable with this. Please don't do this anymore. If he ignores you, dump him. I'm not telling you not to dump him. But if your issue is that he's not listening to you, I'm willing to bet that he didn't understand that that's what you want from him. Because the guy, when a girl says things the way you might have said it, and she like nodded over the phone, yeah, that is how I said it. I said to the guy, you didn't say anything. So she tried it, and they got engaged. I mean, so I'm saying, but it takes a lot of working with a couple to understand what to say and what not to say. And I also told her, I said, again, if the issue was the fact that he's doing something abnormal, fine, dump him. It's like the girl that calls me up. Okay, it doesn't matter. We got the point. Fine.